Hey, hey, it's the Pretty Corrupt Podcast, your inside guide to celebrity scandals and the reality of reality TV. I'm Jordan Ross Myers, the man behind Twitter's notorious Don Gumbelson and Lee Radzwell. Along with my co-hosts, Stacey Noel Connor and Nate Safer, welcome to PCP Pop Culture. Hey, hey!
What up, Pop Culture? What are we doing?
What a week.
Are we appropriating? I don't know.
I know. We're trying to sound like, I don't even know. Like,
why are we trying to sound cool? We're not cool. We are not cool. Two of us are middle-aged. One of them looks it. So
It's fair.
I'm just a 37-year-old teenager. And coming into my own.
Finally growing into yourself.
Discovering the world.
Feeling yourself, yeah.
Making mistakes. Finding... Anyways, you know, this actually, it started out a little slow in pop culture this week. You know, it was the holidays, a little break in the news cycle, Thanksgiving, blah, blah, blah. And then boom. We all finished our Thanksgiving dinners Thursday night, log into Instagram. Paris Hilton made the announcement. Mm-hmm. She had another baby, little London, a girl.
I mean, she always said when she had a girl, she was going to name her London.
I feel so stupid because I saw the name London. I'm like, oh, cool. She's going with the city thing with this kid. I'm like, oh, she kind of did with the first one. I didn't really occur to me that Phoenix is a city, even though I'm sure she was going more mythical bird, which is what I always assumed. But now that she went London, I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, is she just doing cities? Because that's cool. But Phoenix would be a random city to start with.
Yeah, Phoenix is kind of a meh city. Sorry, Arizona. Not sorry. I've spent too much time there. If she had done Scottsdale, then okay.
Tucson, but Phoenix Ram? In general. Yeah, that'd be a good name.
I think Phoenix, if you think about it, that's her son who she had in January. I think that may have been, that was during the cycle of her book and her documentary. And I think it's the mythical thing, like rising from the ashes, finding strength. That's why
the city never even occurred to me until I thought about it now. I was like, yeah, I'm sure it's the bird.
The London name, is, by the way, we haven't seen the kid yet. She did show, you know. Mm-mm. So she hasn't revealed her yet, but I think it's such a girl family and she's such a girly girl that she even called her in the announcement her little princess. I was like, that baby London is literally a little princess. So that's gonna be, but what was I thinking? Oh, so I saw these memes on social media about it because they're okay, so we get it, the Paris and the London, but there's our young people younger than us, hard to believe we're just coming into our own but who think it's a callback to Sweet Life and Zach and Cody, London Tipton, the hotel heiress, the character on the show.
Was that Brenda Song?
Right. Who plays an airheaded hotel heiress named London Tipton.
Oh.
And these kids are so young. They don't go back to 2004 like we do. They don't realize it's like, what's that, like meta?
Full that circle. London Tipton is based on Paris Hilton. Yeah.
Like, it's a pretty easy thing to figure out. But I was watching all these like youths, these like young, I think they call them like Gen Zers or something. I was like, oh, wow, it doesn't, they're so far removed of what to me was the heyday of pop culture and celebrity life that they can't, this is part of like some remote childhood memory. I was like, wow. That. But yeah, so Paris, I don't know how old the kid is. I mean, we don't know because she had it, I imagine, via surrogate because she's been out and about and she was in Vegas last week. So, but it is timed, I imagine, to announce because Paris in Love season 2 is out this week, November 30. I think that's Thursday. So what a way to drop it.
I mean, she's great at that. She's yeah. great at she's great at publicity. I mean, she's yeah. great at that. So yeah. So
I know that. So yeah, I don't even know what to say. I saw a screener. I saw like a little pre-screener. You can't this will air. This episode's out Tuesday. The show premieres Thursday, so can't spoil. But it is about, maybe we'll talk about it if people like it and it's good in the weeks to come. But I mean, it is about her journey. She's basically, the season debuting is about her secret journey having Phoenix, her first baby, her son. And a week before this, it's very Kardashian coded. We're following along, and then we mm-hmm. follow it along in the news, and then we watch it on the show. So I wonder if season 3 is in the works. London in Love.
I mean, it has to be. London in Love. Love in London. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm waiting for the People magazine spread. So that was my big excitement yeah. for the week.
Thrilling. Was Kathy finding out in the episode you screened, or is that later on in the season?
I can't say, but you'll see. Okay.
Fair enough.
Journey. I haven't seen the whole season, you know, just like the premiere is Thursday, but
we'll circle back to this next week.
Yeah. What other families are out there? From reality TV.
Well, you already mentioned one of them as a callback to Kardashians. Yeah. The Kardashians.
Yeah, Big Kim news. They just announced mm-hmm. that Netflix won a bidding war. Who knows how much bidding there was? That could have been leaked from the Kardashians. They made it seem like every studio in the city wanted part of this movie, but that a Kim Kardashian starring rom-com. Netflix bought it, and it has not been written yet. It has not been shot. It has not been written. They have the name of it, which is very strange. The name is called The Fifth Wheel. And we know it's going to be a female driven rom-com. I don't know if they're going for like an R or like a more raunchy, or they haven't really said, but the not been written yet is kind of weird that they were just, cause it was purchased. Like Netflix has different departments for different levels of like cost. They have like a low budget indie, then they have a middle, I think they call it like mid budget, and then they have the big budget. This, they said, is going to fall under the mid budget, which gives it basically cost anywhere between $30 and $80 million. I doubt they're making a Kim Kardashian rom-com that's going to cost $80 million, but that's generally the size film that this department works. And it's written by Paula Pell, who's a pretty well-known stand-up and writer. She was a writer for SNL. She's been a writer for a number of things. She is the one who came up with the idea. And she said that the reason that they were able to pitch it with Kim, even though they haven't written it yet, is because they had her in mind from the very jump, from the idea, which maybe the cynic in me is like, she may have just done that just to get the movie greenlit. Because how else, you know, yeah. I mean, that just like, yeah, we're going to put Kim in it. Now Netflix is like, go on. So who knows? Cause Kim's on a kick now where she's like getting into acting with like American History, Horror Story, which I heard she's actually pretty decent on. Maybe she's not. I don't know. I think people's expectations of her acting were so low that they were like, yeah, she was pretty good. So I don't know about her leading like a rom-com.
I was a little puzzled in that Kim Kardashian's not like the fun when they're like a Kim Kardashian comedy. I was like, a parody of Kim Kardashian? Like she's not the comic relief on this show. She's a pretty flat personality. So I can't imagine her of bringing out big laughs in people.
And on the Kardashians, they're always saying, they're like, Kim, you're so funny. I remember the previous or couple of seasons ago, like the first season or whatever, when she was doing SNL, they're like, no, you're so funny, Kim. You're so funny. Like, people need to know how funny you are. And I was like, excuse me? I still haven't seen it. Like,
the other thing I was trying to piece together is it's called The Fifth Wheel. and it's being created by Kim. There are the five sisters between the Kardashian, the Jenners. And I thought this was another jab at Kourtney for being the least famous of them, possibly, or the least fun. Like, Kim, another attempt at Kim to single her out and make her feel excluded. Yeah. I was like, who would the fifth wheel be in those five sisters? And I was like, Kourtney.
Yeah, for sure.
But I take back all those jokes and criticism if they have a role for me. Just
ditto. Yep. I love Kim Kardashian. I never say anything bad about her. Kimberly Noel, we share the same middle name. So yeah. And I watched the House of Kardashian little docuseries on Peacock during the break, and that was interesting. I don't know, it was interesting because it was a lot of Caitlyn, and so I'm just like, but then they have Joe Francis in there, who Joe Francis, but he's still good friends with them
still. You mean they haven't cut? I mean, obviously I know the Cabo episode and all that stuff, but considering what his reputation is, I'm surprised they haven't put that French association on the back burner.
As far as I can tell, they have not. So, yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. It was interesting. It was interesting to watch, but yeah, I was just like,
I guess it's anywho,
that's neither here nor there. If you're interested in watching it, watch it.
Yeah, I guess there's been a little bit darker news, a little bit more. It's not all babies and heiresses
in
celebrity pop culture, even though that is the pop culture I like and the world I believe in. I know there are other elements out there that are not as innocent as I am, not as wholesome. You guys can't see, but I'm pouting my lower lip.
Well, well, I mean, we talked about it last week about Diddy and Cassie. Cassie's lawsuit against Diddy, and then her settling, and then we talked about how Aubrey O'Day was upset, and I agree. I was like, I understand why Aubrey's upset, and I agree with her being upset, but also at the same time, like, I also understand why Cassie's settling. And I was hopeful, and I think, and the hope is coming true, that people are really speaking out now. Like, more people feel that they can speak out since that lawsuit came out, since details of what Diddy did to Cassie came out. I think it's more because of the details that came out. Mm-hmm. More people are like coming out and saying, and then also people who have come out in the past and said stuff are now being revisited and being believed, as opposed to being like brushed off as like, you're a disgruntled ex-employee or you're a disgruntled artist who didn't get anywhere, blah, 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 blah. Like, no, you've got his old bodyguard, Gene Deal, who's been talking a lot. Now, he admits that he didn't know Cassie, but he's basically like, the stuff that Cassie said happened, he did to Kim Porter, his ex-wife, or his, not ex-wife, never, his ex-girlfriend, baby mama, that he was with for a long time. He's like, he did the same thing to her. In fact, he even tells a story about how when Diddy was, when he was Puffy, and he was, or I don't know, I forget when he changed his name. Anyway, when he was with J-Lo, he left J-Lo one night, gets in the car, and then calls Kim. Kim doesn't answer. The babysitter answers. And he asks the babysitter where Kim is. And it's like, Kim's out. And so basically he's like, we're not going home until we find out where Kim is. And they drove all around Manhattan trying to find out where Kim was, because he's got to be in control of Kim. Even though he wasn't with Kim anymore and he was with J-Lo, he had to like know where Kim was.
Yeah.
And like control what Kim did. Like, always.
And it should be noted that Kim cannot herself file a lawsuit because she passed. You're talking about Kim Porter, right?
Kim Porter, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because she has sadly passed away, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
She cannot corroborate or file her own lawsuit. Yeah, so I don't know.
I always thought that Kim was like the porter. Now, you if you say Kim, people think credit. I just
yeah, Kim that's porter why I wanted to was specify. Like
the
yeah.
love of his life. I didn't know this dark side.
No,
I know she died in like a really expensive house. He had set her up in Toluca Lake.
In Toluca Lake, yeah.
She was taken yeah. care of financially,
which apparently. Yeah. Kimora Lee Simmons asked her, begged her not to take that house, not to leave New York City and move to California to move into that house. Cause she was like, if you move in with him, then he has you. Like if you take all these material things, he has you, even though he's not with you. He said in an Essence magazine article in December of 2006, he said that he had no plans to marry Kim Porter. And he said, I know she deserves to get married, but I'm just not ready. It's not a reflection of how much I love Kim. It's just, I'm learning how to be a good boyfriend. When I'm finished with this step, I'll move on to the next. And then he broke up with her like a few months
later. Yikes.
Like, this is not a serious man. This is not a man who ever wants to be in a relationship. He just wants to control people. And so then he controlled Kim Porter. And so there's also, that Gene Deal talked about how he said, so going back to Aubrey O'Day and Danny DeCane, he apparently said in a recording studio one time while they were recording, he said in front of other people, said, this is allegedly, this is what Gene Deal says on The Art of Conversation. So you can look it up on YouTube. He said, I'm going to drug those girls and pimp them out. What did he do to Cassie? What does Cassie allege in her lawsuit that he did to her?
Yep.
Drugged her and pimped her out.
Wow. Yeah.
So this is like years before. And like, let's not get it twisted too. You know, he was like 35, 37, something like that. Cassie was 19 when they got together. Like, she was technically an adult, but that was grooming there, right there.
What? This is an honest question. What was he? Is this for business favors that he was? He didn't need the cash. So I want to know what. Is it like some kind of weird alliance, like a business favor from a powerful fellow powerful person? It's like, it's not like he needed to pocket $100. It's weird to me.
I'm just supposing here. I think it's like a couple of things. I think one, it's a power move, because a lot of times, you know, like sexual assault is not about sex necessarily. It's about power. It's about having power over somebody. And so when you just show somebody that you can have power over them, that you can make them do this stuff, that they don't have that power agency over that body, that's a lot of control. You know, the stuff with R. Kelly has shown us that as well. But also there is a darker discussion that he had basically like sex parties where he would pimp out people to like hire like people in the music industry.
Okay, yeah. So that's
very alleged. Yeah. And that's a bigger thing. But he would do that with women, but he would also do that with men. It's kind of, so it's known that Clive Davis was bisexual and he was a mentor of P. Diddy. And it's kind of come out that Diddy is bisexual as well.
I've heard that.
This is not about sexuality at all. But this is about, again, this is about power, showing that you have power over somebody. So it doesn't matter if it was a male or a female that he is pimping out. It doesn't matter if it's a male or female that he's forcing to have sex with him. It doesn't matter. It's about that power. And this is about a person who is that much of a psychopath, and in my opinion, that he needs to have power over people like this in all, you know, parts of their life. And I think it would be, I mean, let's also look at it too. How many of Diddy's artists either are A, still alive, like big artists, or are still big? Like, this is not a man who creates stars that stay around or stay big. Like, either they die or he doesn't promote them. They get one or two maybe like really good albums and then he's on to the next thing, or it's all about him. Bad Boy Records is never about, and the record industry has never been about him making good artists. This is about him being famous and being
I was trying to think about the last time he was really on top, because I mean there was a time he was like it was like him and Jay-Z, you know, titans of this. And Diddy was a whole lifestyle and the white party. I dreamed of going to the white party. Mm-hmm. Those haven't happened since 2009, not the real ones, the original Diddy white parties. So that, and I was like, what was the last song that I liked of his? It was like on the radio and it's probably been 10 years. It was that one with, it's like last night.
Oh, couldn't even. It's called Last Night.
Answer. Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's called really Last catchy. Night. Yeah, yeah. And if you hear the lyrics, though, it's kind of about a guy stalking a girl who's trying to avoid him. So, it's been a while since he's not Jay-Z level anymore.
Well, Stacey, I would say, how dare you? Because his very first act on making the band O-Town. They're still around and kicking. They're touring with 98 Degrees right now. So that tells you they're still in the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Right? Well,
there we go. I'm sorry. I apologize, O-Town. I apologize. But I'm sure they have some stories about him.
But I would also say that...
His other making the band bands aren't anywhere.
No.
They've all been disbanded.
No. But not only getting back to, you said the power trip of him like pimping these women out. It was also it's clearly some sort of kink. Because he likes to film them. Mm-hmm. Like Cassie's allegation was that he would get these male prostitutes, make her sleep with them. He would film it, and then he'd watch the stuff later. And several other accusers have come out over the last few days. One of them was a woman named Joy Dickerson Neal, who is he claims he raped her when she was a Syracuse student in 1991. Mm-hmm. So this is 32 years ago. Wow. And she claims that as part of that encounter where she was raped and unconscious, he filmed it. And evidently stories have gone around for years that he still shows that video to people. Wow. So it's clearly, it's power and a kink of some kind.
And he apparently she found out about that because a male friend of hers came to her and said, there's a video of you going around, and she was horrified. And it's a kink, and it's another way of gaining power over somebody, especially because a woman, it just makes a woman look bad. And B, if it's a man, then, you know, he's dealing with his sexuality, whether or not he is, you know, no matter what his sexuality is either. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it puts everybody in a compromising position, except for usually the perpetrator, you know, which is sad.
I told you guys in the text, this was... I don't even know the math. It's been a long time because I haven't spoken to this person in a long time. But my friend who was, or for all I know, still is a model, stunning, like dropped, like kind of Lisa Hochstein-ish, but before all the plastic surgery. Anyway, she was walking down Sunset on the Sun, like West Hollywood, leaving her office building, like 9200 or whatever, that big building right when you enter the Sunset Strip.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, the Maybach pulls over. Diddy spotted her. She was a video vixen sometimes too. Anyways, spotted her, had her driver pull over, and he stopped her on the street, asked her out. She said no. He gave her, this had to be the 2000s, like 2008, because he gave her a card to call her, and she never called. She was not interested. She was creeped out, and I was livid. I was like, how could you say no? Like, maybe she had heard things. I don't know. I guess she dodged a bullet. But at the time, I was just like dumbfounded. Mm-hmm. If Diddy had pulled over in his Maybach and told me to hop in,
you would have been.
I would have been like,
you would have waited for the car to stop.
You would have had to pull over. I would have just thrown myself on the hood while it was going 50 down the street.
Yeah.
So I don't know what she knew, but.
Well, sometimes it's also just a vibe that you get. You're just like, there's something off here.
We should also point out the reason that these particular lawsuits against Diddy have come out this week, as well as a number of other ones that you may have heard about, is because of the expiration date of the Adult Survivors Act, which is it was a law enacted last year in New York that essentially lifted the statute of limitations for sexual assault lawsuits. It's not criminal. The statute of limitations for criminals still exist, but statute of limitations for suing for civil lawsuits lifted them for 1 year. So it was November of 2022 until it expired Thanksgiving Day this year. That's why all these lawsuits from 30 years ago and longer are coming out, because the expiration date was Thanksgiving. So you saw, including Cassie's, you saw three against Diddy. There was one against Axl Rose for a rape of a penthouse model in 1989. Steven Tyler has a couple. So a number of them happened this week, but they've also been happening over the last year and people just haven't noticed as much. Mm-hmm. Like Steven Tyler was accused, like he had a lawsuit earlier this year with two women who claimed that he assaulted mm-hmm. them when they were teenagers back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Axl Rose was in 89. Cuba Gooding Jr. has a couple that one he actually pled guilty to. And then another one he settled in June that was from 2013. Mm-hmm. I completely missed this, but there was another Harvey Weinstein lawsuit, which they kind of just, unfortunately, kind of people just blend
it's
them
like
all together.
It's like this time, throw it in the pile.
Same with Bill Cosby has two new accusers mm-hmm. too. But the one that I didn't notice with Harvey Weinstein was that it was Julia Ormond. Generally when it's a more high profile accuser, there's that thing where so many actresses have claimed that you know, Harvey Weinstein destroyed their career, like Mira Sorvino. I think Ashley Judd, I believe, accused him as well. And Julia Ormond. And honestly, if you look at their career, like films, I saw Julia Ormond as like, I have not heard that name in a long time. Oh, that's mm-hmm. why it's.
Mm-hmm. Well, and piggybacking off of that, to kind of go back to Diddy, that's what people are saying too, that he could end your career with one phone call if you went against him. So he held Cassie's career over her head. He's held the Dana D. Kane girls' careers over their head. I mean, he's now offering people rights to their music that he never gave them before, but in exchange for them signing NDAs.
Oh, is that why he's handing it over?
And it caught people really off guard that he was mm-hmm. doing that over this last year, because he is famous in the music industry for not giving away rights. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people were like, why is he being like magnanimous all of a sudden? And then we see why.
Yep. Yeah. Like when Biggie died, he wouldn't give those rights over to his, you know, widow, Faith mm-hmm. Evans. Like she was like fighting him and all that stuff. And so it's like, oh, your best friend who's died, who now people are saying he was in charge of that murder too. He basically sacrificed Biggie to pay off some debts.
Allegedly.
Everything with Diddy is very dark. It's like Crazy Days and Nights stuff mm-hmm. like it's kind of like the sickest, like weird stuff, like that's what's coming out. There's another woman, Jaguar Wright. She's an artist, writer, and she was like kind of with the Roots. She was associated with the Roots and stuff like that. She's come out. She's said a lot of stuff over the years and said a lot of the same things. But she laid down something like really hot. She was like, hey, she was like, let's look at it. Because before Bad Boy was born out of Uptown Records. So Uptown Records, it was five original founding members. It was Diddy, it was Al B. Sure, it was Kim Porter, Heavy D, and Andre Harrell. Well, Kim Porter's dead, Heavy D is dead, Andre Harrell's dead. Al B. Sure almost died. The only person who hasn't almost died is Diddy. Like, and let's also look at it. Biggie's dead, like Suge's in jail. Like there's so many dead people around Diddy. Like there's a lot of people, Kid Cudi's car got blown up. Like there's a lot of stuff. Like there's a lot of like people either don't have careers anymore or they're not around anymore. I mean, he called it, you know, the East Coast Mafia, but he ran it like a mafia. Like Lil Kim doesn't have a career. Foxy Brown doesn't have a career. Like so many of like his really great artists, like where the hell are they? He killed their careers because they wouldn't do what he wanted them to
do. Mace straight up retired and became a reverend. Like, he just straight up got out of music. Yes. He was one of his Diddy's biggest artists.
And he's talking more now, mm-hmm. too. He's really talking. He's even saying, like, not that becoming a minister wasn't real or anything like that, but basically what Diddy exposed him to in the music industry was so dark and fucked up that he was like, I can't do this. Like, this is so wrong. Like, I love music. I love the, you know, rap and everything like that, but I can't be a part of this part right here. Like, he's come out and said that, like, basically without, you know, saying specifics, that he's seen some dark shit from him. A lot of people are basically now saying that, like, they've seen dark shit come from Diddy. So,
yeah.
Again, why I don't date musicians.
Mm-mm. Same.
Next time I see a chauffeured Maybach coming down Sunset, I won't even have the urge anymore to throw myself under the hood and beg for a ride. So
no, you should just throw yourself in front of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, throwing yourself on the hood could work either way. I mean, you know, you get a lawsuit either way out of it.
I'll never look at a white party again, the same way again, the way things are going with Mauricio and Kyle. We might not go on Beverly Hills again. So
I have a feeling like some of the really dark shit didn't happen to J-Lo. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? But she had an idea, I feel like. And I really think it would be great for the survivors and the people who don't feel that they've been able to speak out yet. If J-Lo, I don't think she would, but if she would be willing to say whether or not she believed people, if she just said, I believe these people, I think that would like mean a lot. Mm. I think it would mean a lot, not just in the public's eyes, but really, really to the people, to the survivors. I think that would just mean so much if she just was like, I believe you. Mm.
I think she's worked so hard to distance herself from that part of her life.
Yeah.
She is like this weekend, it was on TMZ today. She was making out in a furniture store with Ben Affleck. Diddy is in the rear, and Diddy was another part of her life where she wasn't the A-list super mega diva empress tycoon. I don't know as many words. So,
but she was a big enough star that he couldn't treat her like the other people.
I know. I'm just saying with her ego, the way she, I just feel like she doesn't want to revisit and go back. I sound like I'm speaking on her behalf. I don't know. I don't expect a lot from her.
Well, but she likes going back. I mean, she married Ben. She went back to
Good
Ben.
Good point.
Even Mark Anthony. Let's look at Mark Anthony. Mark Anthony had been a previous boyfriend that she then went back to. She loves going back. As long as she doesn't go back and get back with Diddy, I think that's fine if she revisits them. I mean, she's trying to make this marriage work so hard. It's just like making fetch. A thing. Like, she's trying to make Bennifer 3.0 a thing.
We keep falling for this. Like you said, TMZ reporting a completely dumb thing about her and Ben couch shopping, and they're like kissing on the couch. It's so, we got to stop falling for this. It's so obvious because they do it every single time they get busted for fighting in public. Like a week, they'll get busted for fighting in public, and then a week later, they're shopping and they're all over each other. It's like, come on, guys, this, stop it.
Yeah. Like, they've got a fight to fuck relationship. That's what they have right there. Like, that's what they do. They get off on it. I'm pretty sure that's what they are. They've got a padded room somewhere where they just throw each other around and then do
it. Is this their first holiday married, or was it last year? When did they marry? We've been out this
I feel
for a
like
while.
They got married in 2022.
Okay, so they've had a Christmas.
So this would be their second, I think.
Okay,
because
I
was
just thinking, like, what? I can't imagine the gifts. I can't imagine. Amazing. Oh, the passion.
Well, I mean,
anger,
all she has to get him is like cartons of Marlboro.
Yeah, that was my favorite picture from the year. That I was so happy to send to Jordan was the picture of Ben Affleck walking around with a backpack and him taking a torn open carton of Marlboro menthols out of the bag. And I've never seen Jordan happier.
So you guys, you know, I like go to Vegas a lot and stuff. If ever what I look like on the airport, that is literally, I have a black Jansport and it's stuffed with menthols because they're not sold in LA anymore. So anytime I'm out of state, It's only I travel for menthols. I'm just like Ben Affleck, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, coffee and menthols.
There you go. Same natural hair length.
Allegedly.
That is right. On that note, please, please, please don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and follow the Pretty Corrupt Podcast. You can hit us up on social media, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. You can follow our individual pages there. And don't forget, this is PCP Pop Culture. And of course, if you haven't already, there's the PCP Bravo Breakdown. So we'll see you next episode. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.